change.
Like to have everybody's attention for a moment.
You the man.
What's that mean? You the man.
And now, ladies and gentlemen.
Well, now all of a sudden you're stepping up to the next level of competition.
All right, listen up.
Welcome to The Rundown. Here's Desmond Johnson.
It is Saturday. Sports Hub fans, welcome to The Rundown. We were off last week, had a much-needed break for Easter holiday, and of course we missed you. Yet another busy weekend in sports. We will get you ready like only we can. The first three rounds of the NFL draft are in the books. Who had the best and the worst drafts to this point? How are the Panthers doing so far? Panthers expert Kevin Avery from the Four Man Rush podcast will discuss the Panthers' newest additions. NBA playoff action. Did Damian Lillard just take Russell Westbrook's soul and place at the elite table? And will the Golden State Warriors even make it to the NBA Finals? Plus, it was postponed for a week, probably due to us being off, guys, but we've got a massive Bowman Gray Racing preview. Sports Carolina Monthly's Cody Hecox will give us his predictions for all division champions this season. And veteran announcer Randy Pettit will discuss the ambiance of Bowman Gray Stadium, if you will. Head coach Roy Williams from North Carolina had a busy week also. We'll go through the roster movement of the UNC Tar Heels, maybe even touch on this FBI wiretap college basketball situation that may affect Duke, Carolina, Syracuse, and many more. This is The Rundown. I'm your host, Desmond Johnson, joined by my man, Johnny O, John Oshevsky. I feel like I haven't seen you in a couple weeks.
A couple weeks. It's good to be back.
Yeah, absolutely. We got Sports Carolina Monthly's Haskell Shelton in the house. What's up, Haskell? And then we've got IMG studio host Ryan Stone in the house with us as well. He's the studio host for App State football and basketball. What's up, Ryan?
Good to be back, guys.
So Sawyer Dillon's our producer extraordinaire. Intern Aaron is on our social media handling your requests. The Twitter poll question for today. Now, we know the Carolina Hurricanes won in a thrilling overtime game last night, 1-0 over the New York Islanders, game one of the second round of the Stanley Cup playoffs. Now that the Carolina Hurricanes are in the second round of the Stanley Cup playoffs, will you watch any games, yes or no? It's a pretty simple poll question. I actually tried to get to this game last night, guys, and realized it was on NBC Sports Network, and I cut the cord like 6 years ago, so I have to watch things through different means, if you will, and I couldn't figure out how to get to that game. So there was a lot of stuff going on last night and this week in general, so we'll try to touch on all of it. 336-777-1600 is the number to call to chime in on any of the topics today. But first, if you want to see the Winston-Salem Dash today at BB&T Field for only $7, check out the Sports Carolina Monthly Winston-Salem Dash deal. Go to sportscarolinamonthly.com right now. Click on the Dash ticket special at the top of the homepage. Get your ticket vouchers and enjoy baseball action in the Triad. Single game tickets are only $7. These are a $16 value. If I'm not mistaken, they are behind home plate directly. You will not find a better deal than the Sports Carolina Monthly Dash ticket deal. Good for this homestand today and tomorrow, the 28th. Limited supply available, so go check that out. Guys, let's get into NFL draft coverage here. Who do you think was the biggest mistake or reach of the first three rounds? And I'll turn it over to the panel. I think I know where we're probably heading here.
Well, just like the rest of every talking head imaginable. I mean, I hate that. I wish I had something else, but I don't understand that Daniel Jones pick. I mean, because I'm a huge Dwayne Haskins fan, and he's the best quarterback in the draft without a doubt. I didn't like his attitude when Dwayne finally did get drafted, though. He was kind of, you know,
wanted to go higher.
He did. I mean, he should have been higher.
I loved his reaction. The video they showed of when Daniel Jones got picked. I love that reaction. Yeah. Like, that was fantastic.
Haskins is a stud, man. And to me, and again, not the expert on this, but he's ready to play right now.
That's to me is part of it, that they picked Daniel Jones to sit behind Eli for a couple years, which to me I think is dangerous to think that Eli Manning is going to have a couple more years of being able to play NFL football, because he's been on the decline for a couple of years now.
Yeah. I think he does if your goal is to get the number one pick the next couple of years.
Is just so based on relationships and not on football talent. And that's the problem I have with it. It's so based on the Mannings and, you know, David Cutcliffe. And I get, you know, David Cutcliffe's a great college football coach. He's great with quarterbacks. But at the same time, like, Daniel Jones at Duke was, I mean, he wasn't anything special.
Well, here, I was going to read his stats off because, you know, someone had mentioned, you know, if you put Dwayne Haskins at Duke with these stats,
oh my gosh,
Dwayne Haskins wouldn't have been drafted. He would still be on the board today. Like, he wouldn't have been drafted in the first three rounds. So Daniel Jones, for his career, he's a 59.9% completion passer, 6.4 yards attempt, 52 touchdowns to 29 interceptions. Pretty good quarterback rate, 122.9. It's not bad at all, actually. He threw for 8,201 yards in his 3 years at Duke. I'm going to go pull up Dwayne Haskins' stats.
Dwayne Haskins' numbers blow that out of the water.
Well, he already's got the 52. Yeah. Daniel Jones had 52 career touchdown passes.
Yeah.
Now, Dwayne had 50 this past season. Played one season.
A big part, some of this, though, is that Dwayne Haskins is at Ohio State.
Yeah. Right.
That he's throwing to much better receivers than Daniel Jones.
He's also
but
going
at the same
against
time.
Better defenses, too.
He's going against better defenses, too.
He took apart Michigan's. At the time, Michigan had the number one defense in the country, right, Haskell? Because, I mean, correct. that's your boys.
And they ended with the number one defense, but in between, he carved us up.
I was going to say, Haskell made them look like junior peewees. Like, it was crazy watching that game and thinking, well, this is not the way this is supposed to happen. But Haskins just kind of killed it. Now, he really only played this past year as a sophomore quarterback. He played in 8 games his freshman year. But these numbers for Dwayne Haskins, 70% completion percentage.
That should say it right.
4,831 yards last year. He threw for half the amount that Jones did in 1 year that it took Jones to do 3.
Yep.
9.1 yards per passing attempt. His passer rating is 174.1. I said Daniel Jones was 122-something. It just doesn't make any sense to me, like, why they skipped over Dwayne Haskins, except for Dave Gettleman, the GM of the Giants, constantly saying that this was a character pick.
Yeah,
this is a character
fell in love
pick.
With
that's
him.
Code. That is total code.
I don't want a black quarterback.
Exactly. That's exactly what that is. I just dealt with one in Carolina. I want to go through that again. I'm going to go to New York, and I'm going to draft this Daniel Jones kid and make Eli feel good about himself. And that's what I think's going
to happen. And I don't think any of us are saying – I mean, Daniel Jones is a serious quarterback. I think he's
you think
be,
so?
Well, no, I think he's going to be
– I think he could be good.
Could be. You know, he's got the potential, and I thought, you know, he was really good at Duke, but to be the number 6 pick, not even close.
I mean,
like you were saying, I mean, you could have waited
until the
second round.
I feel like you could have got him at 17.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like you maybe even could have got him at 30 when you factor in that Drew Locke fell to the second round.
Yeah, checking for Daniel Jones? That's what, like, it almost looks like a scared pick. Like, someone's going to get him before us, so we need to get him now.
Right.
Which I totally get if it's someone other than Daniel Jones. Like, I don't understand why they were so fearful that they were going to lose Daniel Jones.
If you're going up, if you're at 6 and Josh Allen is still on the board, the defensive end, when they just lost their elite pass rusher to the Browns in Olivier Vernon, and you don't take Josh Allen, like, that's baffling.
I don't know why this frustrates me so much, because I'm not even a Giants fan, like, at all.
I know.
I would love the Giants to move to the NFC South. That's the only answer. I would love to play these guys every year.
One other reach I will throw up there that I thought was bad,
And
it's not that I dislike the football player. It's just they could have got him much later, was the Raiders taking Cleveland Farrell.
I was going to ask if that would be your biggest, like,
that was
surprise
the
pick.
Biggest reach and surprise.
People
that's
are like,
where
well,
Josh Allen should have went, right?
I think Josh Allen, yes. Devin White.
Maybe Ed Oliver.
Ed Oliver I would have taken there over him.
And jumping on that Oakland Raider, I mean, they had 3 number one first round picks.
Yep.
And, you know, they're all, I mean, I looked, they're all very, very good.
I think they're all good
football
players.
They're all good picks. But they needed to make a bigger splash than that.
Yeah, man. I didn't come John away Rude, from the Raiders draft thinking, wow, they really – like last year, Cleveland's draft, I was like, oh, okay. Cleveland looks like they're going to do some stuff.
I
didn't feel that with
them. I like the Jacobs pick a lot, and I like the Abram pick. But
I did like the Jacobs pick, too.
But taking Cleveland Farrell at 4, like if you're – like their philosophy has been trade.
Yeah.
And that's been their philosophy since Gruden got there. So if Cleveland Farrell's your guy, that's who you're dedicated to, then trade back.
Yeah.
Make another trade. Yeah. I mean, there's
pick
teams
up a
that want quarterbacks.
Yeah.
I mean, you know.
I would agree with that.
Now, Jacksonville got Josh Allen, right?
Yeah, which is a steal.
I mean, look
on that defense.
Jacksonville.
Yeah, for
you
real.
Know, they could make a little comeback here.
And they got
they have the tools.
They signed Nick Foles at quarterback.
Foles,
and that was their main issue last year. They had Blake Bortles messing up stuff. So, yeah, I could see Jacksonville making a move. That division's going to be tough with the
loaded
Colts and
that's
the Texans.
Becoming a loaded division.
Mm-hmm. So, 336-777-1600 is the number to call if you want to chime in on anything you saw during the NFL draft the past 2 nights. It's crazy how good the television is watching the NFL draft. Like, I watched the entire first round and didn't even realize it. Like, I was just kind of sitting there waiting on the Panther pick, but it wasn't until pick 16. So, by the time it got around, it was like 9:30, 10 o'clock, something like that. And I'm like, well, I'm already halfway through the draft now. I might as well just stick around and see what happens. So
let me ask you guys, when they first came, when I turned it on at what, quarter to 8, 8 o'clock or what, or 7:30, whatever it was. And I saw that crowd. I thought it was the New York City New Year's Eve party.
Yeah.
That was unbelievable. Was
standing in the streets to watch other teams draft other players.
We were literally in Chicago for the draft a couple of years ago.
I was up there in Chicago when that happened.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I was up there for business for something else, but they had like half the city. It felt like blocked off for...
It was super cool, but it wasn't like that.
They had
Chicago.
They had bachelorette parties complaining about
it. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
We touched on that a little bit on the drive yesterday. Apparently Nashville is a hot spot for bachelorette parties.
That is like
parties.
The capital of bachelorette parties.
And why?
Absolutely.
There's a lot to do in Nashville.
It's a hot city.
That's a booming city.
Wow. Okay. All right. Shout out to Nashville. Yeah. But they're still going on today. I can't remember what time they start today. I think
noon,
it's
noon, I believe.
Noon. Yep. And they're going to fly through the rest of these rounds. They still got five more rounds to go.
I think the draft should be done by, what, May 17th or something like that?
Probably. Yeah, somewhere around in there. What team would you say is having the best draft so far?
The New England Patriots continue to play chess while the rest of the league plays checkers.
Man, they're just like, they just keep trading down, gathering picks, and then they just get a lot of depth. But they never seem like they get like that one guy unless they need a one guy. Then they make moves to go get Stephon Gilmore or somebody.
They lost Josh Gordon.
Yeah.
It was kind of their high point to football and Rob Gronkowski. So they go get N'Keal Harry. That's his specialty out of Arizona State. He can jump and go get the ball. They go get Joe Juan Williams. I forget how he pronounces his first name. Really good defensive back. They get Chase Winovich, who fits everything that the Patriots embody. Guys that just try hard and give it everything on every play. And then they get Damian Harris, the guy who was really more of the workload back than Jacobs was
really
at
was.
Alabama.
everything you just said.
Yeah.
This organization knows what they're doing, man.
They do.
There's no doubt about it.
And if you're Bill Belichick, why should you retire? I know every year people are like, well, this might be the last ride for Bill. Why? He probably does until he's 80 years old.
I mean,
at
he
must giggle at that. Why are you telling me to retire?
Why am I retiring? I've been doing the Super Bowl every year.
I think he'll go when Brady goes.
You think?
That would be my
I almost feel like Belichick would like to win one without him. You know,
maybe
like just one.
I can see that.
Just to cement like
the
hierarchy that Belichick is. Without Belichick, they couldn't do it all. Brady wouldn't have anything without Belichick. The only way to cement that would be, let me go one more year past Brady, get to the Super Bowl at least, or win it without Brady. And then there's no talk whatsoever
Shaq Kobe thing going on there.
There's
not enough age difference where Brady's going to play until he's 50 on another team and then say, ha-ha, it was me winning Super Bowls all the time.
You know, if it could depend on how long Brady plays, on how much longer Belichick goes.
I'm done guessing when he's going to quit. He's 41?
I just enjoy it.
41.
I can't do that, Ryan.
Well, I'm just saying.
I can't enjoy it.
Enjoy greatness, man. Stop pushing the guy to retirement.
That feels so dirty saying it like that.
Just like enjoy Brady, enjoy LeBron, you know.
Yeah.
Enjoy Tiger Woods that I know we're going to be talking about.
Yeah, we are. Yeah, we're going to get a Tiger here in just a bit because we were off last week and he kind of put on a little bit of a show last weekend. But coming up right now, to give us a little insight on the Panthers selection so far, he is a member of the Four Man Rush Panthers podcast. Weekly episodes are available on YouTube, SoundCloud, and Podbean. If you have not had a chance to check these guys out and you are a Panther fan, definitely go and look them up online. They give you great analysis. They do play breakdown, player breakdown. They are fantastic. Please welcome Kevin Avery to the show. Kevin, my man, what's going on, brother?
Hey, what's going on? How you doing today?
Pretty good, man. Pretty good. I knew I wanted to have some Panther analysis on here for the draft today, and you are here in the Greensboro, Winston-Salem, High Point Market, WSGS Sports Hub, and you guys were the first group I thought of to bring on, and hopefully I can bring you guys on more often, especially as we get into the season, to help get us some breakdowns on the Panthers and what they're doing. But wanted to talk a little bit with you with the panel regarding the three picks that the Panthers have already made and to get your opinion on what they've done. Guys, starting off with the first round pick, number 16 overall, Brian Burns, the outside linebacker / defensive end from Florida State. First from Kevin, what were your thoughts on that pick? Because it did seem like it filled a need, and it did seem like the right pick at the time.
Yeah, as far as my analysis of it, I mean, I was ecstatic that we was able to get Brian Burns. Many discussions that we had in the four-man rush, we were really looking at the fact of not only his ability to put his hand in the dirt, but also stand up outside linebacker, but the fact that he does it effectively from both sides. I mean, when you really watch film of Brian Burns, you realistically can say he has the best arsenal of elite pass rushing moves and combination of anybody that was drafted ahead of him. I mean, Bosa, Josh Allen, you know, the quote-unquote elite players that were selected for him. But, I mean, I love the fact that he's going to fit perfectly with this hybrid defense that Coach Rivera is going to run for the Panthers.
Do you think,
he's a game changer.
Do you think they're going to play him at defensive end or more outside linebacker? Or like you were kind of saying, you think they're going to kind of rotate him at both spots?
I think they're going to rotate him. You know, Coach Rivera, you know, he believes in a rotation at the defensive end position. You know, we carried six defensive ends on the 53-man roster last year. And I know because he's the first-round pick, Panthers fans may expect him to think, okay, he's immediately starting. But as you know, every rookie has to grow into the NFL. The speed is about to be 100 times faster than anything you saw at Florida State. But I think that he's going to be someone that's going to see a lot of snaps on the field. So don't get caught up so much in him starting versus how many snaps he gets during the game. But, yeah, I can see him as 4-3 defensive end when we do our 40 fronts, and I can see him as an outside linebacker in our 30 front packages.
On the line with us, Kevin Avery from the Four Man Rush Panthers podcast that you can find on YouTube, SoundCloud, and Podbean. New episodes every single week. Round two, the 37th pick overall, the Panthers actually traded up to get to this pick. Greg Little, the offensive tackle from Ole Miss. Give me your take on that, Kev, because this is a huge kid, 6'5", 325 pounds. It says his strength is pass protection, and that was something that was a big area of concern last year for the Panthers, protecting Cam Newton, the franchise. What were your thoughts on the Greg Little pick?
Well, as someone that kind of followed Greg Little, I mean, many Panthers may not be aware, he was the number one offensive lineman heading into college in 2016. So he came in as the elite offensive lineman heading to college before he went to Ole Miss. And he did nothing but solidify his resume there. I mean, he started five games as a freshman. And the Pro Football Focus pretty much broke down the stats. Out of 962 snaps starting at left tackle in the two full seasons that he played for Ole Miss, this kid only gave up 26 quarterback pressures.
Wow. Wow.
I mean, if you're talking about premium protection, easily this guy was discussed as a top 10, top 15 pick early on in the draft process, but this is also could be considered a steal as well. This is easily a first-round guy.
Well, that was going to be my question to you. Do you think he becomes the incumbent to be that left tackle for Cam Newton? Because it seems like that's kind of where they're going to put him. I know they got Taylor Moten, they've got Darrell Williams back on a one-year prove-it deal, but both of them are better at right tackle, if I'm not mistaken, correct?
Well, here's the thing. As far as what they're going to do with Greg Little, I mean, he's probably the first natural left tackle that the Panthers have drafted, oh, my God, in several years.
Jordan Gross,
I mean,
maybe?
Even when we think about Jordan Gross, he came in as a right tackle and then switched over to left.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so you're talking about, you know, Coach Masco getting the opportunity to have elite talent at this level to groom and to grow. I mean, if he has this type of resume coming in, I mean, everybody know about the magic of Masco. I mean, he's really going to bring out this guy. We could potentially be looking at a perennial All-Pro years to come with this pick. Now, as far as the other guys go, you know, Darrell Williams, many Panthers fans probably don't remember, in his rookie year, he played some guard for us.
Right.
The 2015 season. Taylor Moten, I mean, he's the whatever type of guy. He could play left tackle, left guard, right tackle. He said he's a football player, so position flexibility, which is something that Coach Rivera and Marty Herney have been preaching all offseason, is what these players provide. And if we can find the right combination amongst these offensive linemen, Cam could potentially have the best offensive line he's ever had here in Carolina.
And he had the most success in 2015, where his line basically was healthy the entire year. They didn't really have any major injuries across the team, and that seemed like that was one of the main things that people forget, how healthy that 2015 team was that ended up getting all the way to Super Bowl 50. And then finally, real quick, Kev, The pick last night at round three, number 100 overall, Will Grier, the quarterback from West Virginia, who is from Davidson, which is basically walking distance from the Panthers facilities. It seems like online there's kind of either love it or hate it type pick or type of feel towards that pick. What were your thoughts when they drafted Grier, and what do you think the Panthers' plans are going to be with him going forward over the next couple of years?
I got to keep it real with you guys. I was not a fan of this pick. Nothing against Grier, the player himself, as someone that just sees the need. Since we had already given up our third-round pick earlier to move up to grab Greg Little, and with this comp pick and seeing how certain talents that the Foreman Rush had down as first-round grades were still out there and available, I really was shooting for safety. I just want to be honest with you guys. So my reaction was not the most kindest, if I can put it that way. I kind of had a few words that you don't put in the Bible when we drafted him. But, you know, but now that I've slept on it overnight, the plan that I see is this. You're talking about a kid that's not only from the Charlotte area, but he has a resume that shows that he would be a legit true backup that's going to be groomed by Norman Scott Turner to really run this Air Coryell offense. So he could be a guy that may not get a lot of playing time up front because we all want to see a healthy Cam Newton play 16 games for the foreseeable future, but he's definitely a guy that once groomed will keep this offense moving.
And then a real quick, real final note here on this last day of the draft. They've got five more rounds to go. What are the positions? Give me one or two positions that you're thinking the Panthers might look for early here as they start this draft again at noon today on ESPN.
First pick, though, but the fourth round pick, I think safety may still be in play, even though we're hearing rumors that Trey Boston may be coming back. I also can see possibly a running back out there. There's still some nice running backs out there, like a Devin Singletary from Florida Atlantic University, someone that's got a great change of direction. And believe it or not, I can see defensive tackle being a possible option. My personal favorite is Rennell Wynn out of Arizona State. So there's different options out there. I mean, heck, even quarterback is still in play. So I could see three or four positions that if we keep these last three picks that could be used.
I was really, really hoping that Greedy Williams was going to fall to us somehow, like in a late round. The Browns ended up snatching him last night, and I was just like, man, the rich get richer, which is weird to say about the Cleveland Browns. But, hey, Kev, you did, man, this was fantastic. I'm really hoping to keep you on board throughout the season to give us some of this Panther insight, especially as we go into the summer minicamp. I know you guys are going to be down at the Panthers minicamp more than likely because I see you down there every year more often than not. To give us some more insight on the Panther stuff. And I just appreciate you calling in today for this. And we will talk to you very, very soon regarding some Panther talk.
Yeah, definitely. If I could really quickly, just a quick correction. The Foreman Rush podcast is actually on SoundCloud and Podbeam. Our video's on YouTube. And definitely the Foreman Rush will be on the scene for OTAs, mini camp, training camp. We're definitely going to be there. So definitely appreciate you guys supporting the Foreman Rush. We look forward to bringing it to you guys that the way it needs to be told.
Absolutely, man. Appreciate you, Kevin Avery. That's Kevin Avery from the Foreman Rush Panthers podcast. Like he mentioned, you can get it on SoundCloud or Podbean. Their videos, their analysis videos are on YouTube. They are on Facebook and they are on Twitter as well. So you can search for them there and get to all of their channels and avenues. That was fantastic.
Great segment.
Yeah, he was really, really good. So we'll definitely have them back on. Next, a little barbershop talk. You guys know how we do this every Saturday. We didn't get a chance to discuss this last week because we were off, but I had to bring this back around to our panel. Is Tiger Woods a bigger sports name than Michael Jordan, like, ever? So we'll get into that and see the pros and cons of that discussion. 336-777-1600 is the number to call. Hit us up, intern Aaron, man, on our Twitter, at Sports Hub Triad. Barbershop Talk, next in The Rundown.
Okay, let's go.
You're listening to The Rundown with Desmond Johnson.
Barbershop Barbershop Talk brought to you by Havoline Express Lube of Kernersville. Their service facility is independently owned and operated by Mac Allen, providing full service repair and maintenance services. They use the latest diagnostic equipment to guarantee your vehicle is repaired or serviced properly in a timely fashion. Mac and his team pride themselves on commitment to the local community and providing value-driven service in an inviting, friendly environment. Go see Mac at Havoline Express Lube of Kernersville for all of your automotive maintenance needs. Barbershop Talk's a pretty simple question of the day. You can chime in on your thoughts at 336-777-1600. You are locked into the Rundown. I'm your boy Dez, Johnny O, Haskell Shelton, Ryan Stone in the house, Sawyer Dillon, and intern Aaron Manning, our control panel studio. Who's the biggest name in sports today, Tiger Woods or Michael Jordan?
Today?
Yeah.
That's a much easier question.
That's a much easier question today.
I'm starting off a little easy. So, like, right now, who's the bigger name
today,
in sports?
Today, Tiger Woods. Are you kidding me?
Now, is it that easy of an answer, though?
Oh, yeah.
Today.
I mean,
today.
Right now, he just won the Masters.
You have changed the question.
Michael Jordan is a billionaire owner of an NBA franchise.
His shoes are still
the most popular shoes 25 years after he stopped playing.
As an owner, he is irrelevant.
Yeah.
Because he's not good.
Because
he's not good.
Thank you, Ryan.
Wow, that's a hot take from Ryan Stone over here.
Tiger Woods.
Maybe I should change the question.
This is a whole nother level. I mean, and Michael's still at that level. But when you ask today's Saturday, there is no doubt Tiger Woods is the guy, man. And for what he did 2 weeks ago, you know, just watching him and what he did during that 8 or 9 year period of just incredible golf back in the day, and then for him to make a comeback like this, I mean, I'm going to admit right now, man, I had a tear in my eye when he picked that ball out of number 18 and he was the winner of the Masters, because that was special.
You know what was crazy? That Sunday, we all separated for Easter break or whatnot, and I took a week off from the Sports Hub, and I took my wife up to Highlands for like a mountain retreat at the spa hotel place up there, and we were leaving Sunday. So we were dropping off the kids at my mom and dad's house and saying goodbye and everything, and my dad was watching the Masters. My dad does not watch golf. He doesn't care for golf, has nothing to do with it, but he had it on. And I was actually sitting there for a minute because I was like, well, I want to know what happens. Tiger's got the red on. He took the lead. Like, it looks like it was finally going to happen. And like, my wife is kind of having to sit there on the couch at my mom and dad's house. Like, when are we leaving to go on this 4 hour drive up into the mountains or whatever? It's like 2 o'clock in the afternoon. I'm sitting here watching Tiger Woods to see if he can do it with my dad. We don't watch golf, and we were totally invested.
You just answered the question.
I have a similar. Yeah, cause I was at my parents' house that day too, and both of my parents, who don't watch golf, sat down to watch the Masters with me while I had it on TV.
It was great TV. It really was.
That gives me the chills, man. I'm serious. I mean, as much as I love sports, I mean, I used to watch my father watch golf and ask him back when I was a kid, Dad, how do you watch this? Why do you watch this? Because I was not watching it, and I really didn't start playing until I was 29 or 30, and you guys could probably tell if you ever golfed with me to this point. But anyway, he would watch it, and now I am in the same boat, man. I'm stretched out on the couch. I will watch every shot he takes. It's so exciting. He is it right now. Tiger Woods, to answer the question, and not only today, I think he's number one, the greatest athlete I've ever seen.
Tiger Woods, overall athlete in my lifetime, is Tiger Woods, because I've never seen him dominate.
He has dominated the game.
Is that because of his athleticism, or because
some of that
the
is
other
com-
players
some of that is competition,
just weren't
I think,
him?
Early
yeah,
in his. I think the competition is a lot better now.
Yeah, some of these guys now are like built like him, right?
He was Rory still going and, against the Phil.
I mean, they're like all like Popeye armed, like
big
strong
of him.
Kids.
He has changed the game
changed
of golf.
Game.
I'll give him that.
Question. No question.
I don't know if I could say he's a better athlete than Michael Jordan.
I would say
though.
He's the most uniquely talented person in his sport of all time.
Ah, okay. Yeah, I could go with that.
I mean, he. Don't get me wrong. He's top five all time for me.
Athlete?
Like, yeah, athlete.
Oh, absolutely. Oh, my gosh.
I don't know.
Just the dominance that he's displayed.
Well,
I mean,
here's the problem,
you know?
Though. You've never played golf.
Not like a, putt-putt doesn't count, right?
I mean, you guys, you play Haskell?
Yeah, I play golf. I mean,
this game is ridiculous how hard it is.
I'm looking through the control room there, and, you know, Aaron and Sawyer are like vampires. They don't have the lights on in there, so I can barely see them. But I can see through the dark. I see this like quizzical look on Aaron's face off of this conversation. I just want to know what's going on in there.
So bottom line, I just put a golfer in the top five athletes of all time.
I put him. I put him number one.
John did that.
Yeah, he's
John,
an athlete.
I do that.
He's my top.
I put in top five.
Number one number athlete one. In all of sports.
Are we talking? Are we talking like athletic prowess?
No,
we
said athlete.
We're talking
just. Athlete in his sport.
Athletic prowess doesn't play a part in
accomplishments. I'm not saying the most athletic looking guy. Yeah.
Well, what defines an athlete? That's what we need to discuss.
Because I was thinking like athletic ability is what I was thinking talking about.
Like a NASCAR driver and an athlete?
When I say top five athlete, what I think is athletic prowess is one part of it. It's a small part of it, but it's also accomplishments. It's also what you've accomplished. Like,
absolutely.
Like Bo Jackson's a phenomenal athlete all the time. He is one of the most athletic people to ever be on this planet. Yeah. But he did not accomplish near what Michael Jordan or Tiger Woods have accomplished.
And as an athlete, Tiger Woods, between the ears during that 8 or 9 year period, nobody has ever been so focused on the sport than him. I mean, most golfers can hit the ball like him. It was between his ears that got him to the level that he's at.
I would say, to piggyback off of what John just said, Tiger did to golf what Michael Jordan did to basketball.
He took it mainstream.
Because Jordan put the fear of God in people when they were playing against him, and Tiger has that same kind of thing going on.
I think
people are scared of him when he gets to a certain point.
I think also, to an extent, Tiger took it mainstream.
See, like, it was not. I think Jordan took it mainstream. Because, like, I mean, Jordan was doing this in, like, 92, 93, you know? Like, Tiger took what Jordan did, and it's funny, they're both Nike guys. Tiger took what Jordan did, the stuff on the court, the commercials off the court, the merchandising, the brand making of his
I think
he took Jordan's template and took it to another level.
I think Tiger took golf from a lower place to a higher place.
Oh, absolutely.
Jordan, like, don't get me wrong, Jordan made the NBA
global.
Much more mainstream and global but Tiger took golf.
Would you say he took it bigger than Jordan did with basketball? I mean,
I'm not saying golf is bigger than basketball. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is golf was a niche sport, essentially.
Now, okay, off of that, though, I would say, doesn't it become a niche sport again when Tiger's not playing?
Well, we don't know.
It's not the same excitement. I mean, we've had a stretch
when
Tiger
is not playing,
I don't think it'll ever go back as low as it was before him, though. Because you've got the guys like Rory and also Jordan Spieth.
Right.
You've got some younger guys that are worth watching.
Yes, you do.
Because of Tiger.
I spoke to two, calling on a couple of golf courses, and I spoke to, one was a pro and the other was the GM of another, pretty nice country clubs around here. And they said, actually one of them wasn't a country club, it was public, but they said that whenever Tiger plays and plays well, especially wins, the next month or two, the tee times are like double or triple than it was before.
As soon as someone starts
seeing him play. Now, with this Masters win, oh my gosh, golf is completely back, and you're going to see these golf courses are going to be packed all summer long just because he is now back.
See, that's the same thing with Jordan, though, just 15 years earlier. Like, I remember when Jordan hit that shot against the Lakers in the finals, the up with the right hand, put it in the left.
That he didn't have
totally
to do,
unnecessary.
He
didn't really need to do it at all. He just kind of showing off. But I remember going out to my driveway along with probably every kid in the country that next day trying to do that move, like over and over and over again. Like Jordan, I can't think of another athlete in my lifetime that's gotten to the level that Michael Jordan did in terms of, like, he almost came at the perfect time, because if he had came 10 or 15 years later when there was social media and everything else, I don't think we would look at Michael Jordan the same way we do now. He kind of came in the sweet spot in between Magic and Bird. And when the league flipped over to like Shaq, Kobe, and then LeBron, like he is that entire 90s decade, and his whole entire career basically it's off of those six titles and the six scoring or the multiple scoring championships, the six MVPs.
He's
loaded up.
But here's the other thing, and maybe on the greatest athlete type thing to answer maybe a question of Aaron's here. Michael Okay, there's a bunch of players in the NBA right now that, hey, especially Kobe Bryant, to be honest, he plays just like Michael. He's almost as good. Is he as good? Is LeBron James as good as Michael Jordan? You know, there's a lot of guys that are as good, and there's question if they are as good as him. In golf, there is no one that compares with Tiger, and he hasn't won a major in 11 years. During that 11-year span, you'd get Jordan Spieth. Oh, my gosh, he's on next. A roll. Yeah. He wins two.
Yeah.
And then he's Rory done. On no Rory. One will ever match what Tiger Woods
But he's still
has
not
done.
Even – I mean, there's a whole other debate. Is he better than Jack Nicklaus at this
well,
point?
Well, that's a
so,
whole –
So if you're going to put him in the top now, five athletes. Yeah, I mean, that's what I'm saying. He's not even the best in his sport at this point.
That's a great point.
I wouldn't say well,
no, he means like ever, though, right? You mean like best ever.
Best ever.
Okay, he doesn't have as many majors. No, absolutely.
He's also still playing.
And then talk about really elevating golf from nothing to something. Take away Nicholas and see where golf is when Tiger starts.
Absolutely.
We don't know who Tiger was.
Great
points.
But that's a whole other argument.
Boom!
But let's do that next week.
I mean, does Nicholas even play? I mean, does Tiger even play golf without Nicholas? Like, that's a.
Yeah, because that's been his goal.
Good, I mean,
what's his 40 time, by the way? Because I'm wondering if we would have seen him in the combines and if we would have been arguing about
Tiger
him in that first segment.
Look, Tiger got jacked after a while. Game. Like his body has changed from when he started in 97 to now. Like he works out. I think a lot of his back problem stuff, it felt like it came from workouts.
If my wife beat me, like his wife beat him, I'd be working out really,
exactly.
really hard too.
Back to the athlete thing. You know, when you look at these different athletes in the different sports, they're completely different athletic abilities in each sport. Because I'm just going to bring up one sample. John Wall. Okay, how great an athlete is he? I mean, he can run, he can jump,
fantastic
he can do
athlete.
Everything, right?
Can't shoot
okay,
a lick.
Well, no. he stepped foot at the Washington Nationals game to try to throw the first pitch out, and it looked like he had a disability. Okay,
wow.
He couldn't even throw the baseball. There's just
something that's
just
it's
an
hard
example.
To do. Some things
did
for
you
athletes.
See that,
yeah, that's
it
being unfair
ridiculous.
To people with disabilities because they would come much closer to hitting home plate.
Just the way you threw it.
336-777-1600 is the number to call if you want to chime in on our conversation. Maybe we should have made this the poll question. Who's the better athlete, Tiger Woods
save
or
it.
Michael Jordan? Yeah, we'll save it for a different time.
And then I want Haskell and
Michael Jordan.
And me and him to go after with this Jack Nicklaus.
Steel cage, baby.
Yeah, we'll get that going too during the summer. That'd be a good barbershop talk. Let's take a quick break. Come back. The NBA playoffs are in full swing. Dame Dollar has arrived. Giannis is a problem. And are the Warriors more vulnerable than we actually thought throughout this entire season? We'll take a look at the NBA playoffs. They're getting kind of wild next.
What's up, dog?
Think about it.
A party?
Are we having a party? Yeah. Yeah!
Back to the Rundown with Desmond Johnson.
For the latest coverage of ACC sports, Panthers, Hornets, high school, NASCAR, and much more, check out Sports Podcasts, powered by SportsCarolinaMonthly.com. Weekly podcasts like A Stone's Throw with Ryan Stone, who's in the house with us this morning. The Four-Man Rush Panthers podcast, Kevin Avery, if you missed that great Panthers analysis of the first three rounds of the draft, check that out up on our Spotify and SoundCloud and everything else when this episode's up after we're off the air at noon. Episodes of The Rundown and more now available on Spotify, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, really anywhere podcasts are available, and that's brought to you by Ray's Auto Body and Wrecker Service in Winston-Salem. Let's take a look around the NBA, gentlemen. You're locked into The Rundown. Desmond Johnson, your host, Johnny O, Haskell Shelton, Ryan Stone in the house today. Apparently Kevin Durant went and had himself a little ball game last night.
He was okay.
My social media was blowing up. I couldn't flip over to it, but yeah, he what? So what happened last night? He
38 in the first half.
38 in the first half,
which
wow.
is I think the second most I believe ever in a half in playoff history.
Do you think he's staying in Golden State?
Nope.
I don't think so either.
No, but
Knicks doesn't sound right though. But that seems like what everyone is saying that's where he's going
to
go.
How about Brooklyn? Brooklyn should.
I don't think he wants to go. I heard Kyrie wants to go to Brooklyn.
You know how much like
if Kyrie goes to Brooklyn,
you know
Durant will go to.
Here's why Durant will be a Knick. if you are the guy that can bring the Knicks back to prominence,
oh, yeah.
What that does for your brand and name recognition, and that's why I think he'll be a Knick.
And he's going to already have that brand, because if they win it again this year with three he's under his belt, all right, let me go to New York, let me see what I can do.
And then if they can factor in, if they get the number one pick and get Zion,
you think they would keep Zion? Like, sign Durant? Or would they need, or would you think they would take Zion and maybe trade to the Pelicans for Anthony Davis or something like that?
No, keep Zion.
They would keep Zion. In today's positionless NBA,
rookie contracts too.
That's true. See, here's my thing with, and plus Zion's a face, like he's going to be like a brand hawker by the time he comes in the league. My thing with Zion is still, and it's grown the further away we've gotten away from college basketball, but the more I think back on what he did this past season, he's going to get eaten alive without a jump shot. Like, he doesn't have a jumper, he has a set shot. It takes a minute for him to get it up there. I mean, it goes in pretty often.
He's so athletic. It's an up and down game in today's NBA. Like, I think he'll be fine.
Those inside moves he did, man. He's doing scoops and everything else. Yeah, and he's that big also, and strong. He's got it.
His passing, rebounding, shot blocking. I mean, he does everything.
I'm not worried about him anymore. You talked me off the ledge.
If he's not a 15-10 guy next year, I would really be.
I said that. I said that on my podcast a couple weeks ago. I think he'll average 15-8,
absolutely
3-3, something really like that.
With Durant and maybe Kyrie on the team, boy, that would be
kind of fun to watch, actually. And I'm not a Knicks fan, but that would be fun to watch, though. But last night, as we mentioned, Golden State clinched against the Clippers, a feisty Clippers team.
Yes, give them credit, man.
Kawhi in the offseason.
That's the real LA team now.
If Toronto is eliminated in this round, I would pencil him to the Clippers.
Toronto's got a tough matchup with the 76ers. I think they start today, if I'm not mistaken.
And real quick on the Clippers, they got a great owner that is excited about owning team.
One of the
and
richest
a great
in the league.
Coach.
He might be the richest owner in
the
league.
They don't have a star right now, but they have pieces.
If you're Kawhi Leonard, would you stay in Toronto, or would you go to the Clippers, or would you go someplace else like New York?
It depends on what Toronto does this year, I think. If Toronto makes the finals.
I don't think they're getting past Milwaukee, to be honest. But
I don't know that they're getting past the 76ers.
Eastern Conference, the Final Four in the Eastern Conference, what are two great
storylines with that?
Yeah.
The future of those four teams is on the line in this round, because you got Kyrie in Boston in that situation. You've got Philadelphia's got Tobias Harris and Jimmy Butler, who are going to be free agents.
Mm-hmm.
Milwaukee's got Chris Middleton and Brooke Lopez and somebody else who's a free agent.
Maybe Bledsoe.
They re-signed Bledsoe. Bledsoe and Giannis are under contract. It's one other guy that they go to that's, I think, maybe Mirotić.
Good for Milwaukee. I think it's great.
And then you've got Toronto with Kawhi. Toronto is on the edge of, we either advance or we rebuild.
Blow the whole thing. Which is crazy, because they've won 50-plus games the past 2 years.
But Kawhi, who's so quiet, man, he's sitting out there in Toronto, on a winner. Mm-hmm. He might be better off staying right where he's at. He's not, for him to go to L.A., and have all that media all over him.
See, I don't think he wants.
But he wouldn't with the Clippers because
he doesn't want that.
But if he's with the Clippers and they're good, then he can't avoid it. They're playing in Staples Center. Yep. It's weird. Kawhi Leonard's weird.
I think as long as LeBron is in LA, I don't think it'll be that bad on him.
That was actually a question that's actually a question that I have for intern Aaron. We've started a segment every week, 1 minute with intern Aaron, and I'm glad you segued into that, because there's been some heat starting to build up around this notion that maybe the Lakers should attempt to trade LeBron James. Aaron, I want to ask you this question, bud. Should the Lakers attempt to trade LeBron James? If they did, where would be the best landing spot for James to finish his career, and why? Keep in mind, he's got 3 years left on this max deal he signed with the Lakers. Should they even attempt to trade him, for starters? And if they do try to trade him, where should he go?
The Los Angeles Lakers and LeBron James was a poor fit from the start. I think the Lakers should definitely at least dangle LeBron James to see if anybody bites. Dangle him. Don't get aggressive with it. Just see if anybody bites. As far as destinations for LeBron James, it's difficult to say because he doesn't fit in anywhere. That's the problem.
What do you mean he doesn't fit anywhere?
He has to take over.
He doesn't fit anywhere. You have to get him in, and you have to quote-unquote build around him. You know what I mean? And it's terrible. It doesn't work for a player that's 34 or 35. Should have stayed his butt in Cleveland.
I could see Houston. That would be the one that comes to mind. For
CP3, LeBron.
They got to give somebody up, though, man. Who are they going to give up?
Capella.
Yeah, I mean, they can drink Capella.
Capella all the way up out of there.
Capella and what's the other guy's name?
Capella.
Just won the game for him the other night.
You got Eric Gordon. Eric Gordon could trade.
Oh, yeah.
Big fella.
The Lakers would probably do that. All right.
Draft picks.
Okay, then. Of course, they're not trading LeBron James. He's not going anywhere.
You don't trade LeBron James.
But the Lakers are a hot mess right now.
Oh, my God. It's a mess.
Dumpster fire. I don't know what to do.
In between my ears, I'm thinking the Clippers, they are definitely the better franchise.
Are they going to get another star?
Yes, I think they will.
No, not the Clippers, the Lakers. Are the Lakers going to get another star to pair with LeBron?
No.
Because, I mean, Kyrie and Durant seem like they got their own thing going.
I think they'll get somebody. I don't know that it's necessarily going to be
Walker.
A superstar.
They're going to get.
I said Kemba was an option.
I could see Jimmy Butler.
Yeah.
Maybe, is that enough?
Maybe Tobias Harris to an extent. No, it's not enough.
No, they're not. He's not going to get the big stuff.
What was the point of it? Because everyone's like, well, he had to go to L.A. because he's doing all this stuff. He already lived in L.A. He didn't need to go there.
I will go back to the Lakers and their coaching hire. We talked about this 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
They should hire Monty Williams. And they should go all in on trying to get Kevin Durant. Because Monty Williams and Kevin Durant have a great relationship.
See, I don't think Durant would ever play with LeBron because he's chasing LeBron.
I'm not saying he would.
He's chasing
LeBron. But I'm saying it's worth a shot.
Yeah, he's not going to help LeBron get another title, and then they're just, you know, together getting titles, I don't think.
That's the other thing, though. It doesn't necessarily have to be Kevin Durant. Monty Williams is that loved across the NBA.
He is.
Like, he can, him and LeBron could lure somebody.
I kind of like Jason Kidd. Jason Kidd's in the play now, too.
But in the Tyronn Lue,
I've been fine with.
Kidd's ego has proven to be too much as a head coach.
I don't think none of that even matters because I don't think people really understand that the Lakers are a dumpster fire from the very top.
They are.
That's true.
There's no question about
that. From the
very
top, they have no idea what's going on.
I don't understand how Magic can step down as president of basketball operations, and then 3 days later they're like, well, he's still going to recruit players for us and kind of be in that role but not be the president, and then they're not going to even hire somebody to replace him. Rob Pelinka's running the franchise.
Yeah.
No one likes Rob Pelinka.
Who's never done that before?
He's never done it before. Everybody knows him as Kobe Bryant's agent.
Yep.
And no one likes him.
No other teams are answering the phones.
The Pelicans will not deal with them because of this, which means that they can wait for Anthony Davis for a year after they ship him off to Sacramento or wherever they end up sending him to.
If Boston advances to the Eastern Conference Finals, finds a way to get past Milwaukee, and they keep Kyrie Irving, they'll go all in to try to get Anthony Davis.
If I'm Boston at this point, I would all these kids, Tatum too. I would put them in some sort of package and get Davis, get Irving to re-sign. Maybe keep Tatum if you can. Everybody else is on the table, but you got to get a commitment from Kyrie first before Davis will even do anything.
Kyrie's got to stay and look out. I wouldn't be surprised if Boston. Are you ready for this hot take? Wins it all.
I can still see them getting to the finals.
They are playing.
I can still see them getting to the finals.
Because they got to get past this dude first named Giannis.
Well, here's my thing on that. They have more guys. They are better equipped to guard Giannis than any team in the league. They have five guys they can throw at Giannis.
Nobody else has that. Boston is in it to win it here. I'm serious. And can you imagine this? This would really just frustrate you, I think.
Me?
The Patriots. The Red Sox, the Celtics winning the World Championship.
Are the Bruins still alive, too?
And the Bruins are still very much alive.
I'm just writing on my calendar, on this day in sports history, Johnny O declared Tiger Woods a top five athlete of all time and said the Celtics were going to win it all.
I'll take it. Okay. Please write it in bold.
I didn't say they're going to win it all. I could see them going into the finals, though.
Look, Milwaukee, I thought about this the other day. Milwaukee reminds me of the Orlando Magic when they had a young Dwight Howard, except Giannis is in the role of Dwight Howard, and Giannis can do 50 more things than what Dwight Howard could do with a basketball. Because they've done the same setup. It's Giannis in the paint, getting paint buckets whenever he wants, and he's surrounded by three-point shooters. The whole team can shoot threes, basically.
Except
for Bledsoe. But Bledsoe can get in the paint, too, and make his own shot. I didn't realize Milwaukee had, the second highest three-point attempts of the season. Only Houston shot more. So, I mean,
they also have cap space.
They do. So I mean,
so they could be
Milwaukee, Wisconsin's not exactly
sneaky,
the.
They could be a sneaky
get like a
free
now,
agency.
I could see like a Jimmy Butler or somebody showing up in Milwaukee.
I could see Kemba.
That would.
Now he probably wouldn't. He probably wouldn't gel that well with Eric Bledsoe because
Bledsoe would probably have to go. He'd probably have to come back the other way.
I thought that was a bad idea anyway.
As long as the Hornets don't lose him for nothing. I'm at the point now where I'm like, if Kemba wants to go someplace and win, that's fine. If he wants to stay, that's fine. But don't just let him go for nothing. If he's going to go, sign and trade him so he gets his money and we get something back in return. But I don't know what's going to happen with Kemba. I really don't. Before we have to go take another break, I got to talk about Dame Lillard for a second. Shooting this shot, this 37-foot well game winner in Paul George's eye hole to win. I've never – Steph Curry's the only person I can even think of in the league where I'd be comfortable with him shooting that shot.
He shot 66% from over 26 30? Feet yeah. and out wow. in this series. Like, and he has gotten to that level. That's the
and at the beginning of the – you know, during warm-ups, he was taking those shots the whole time. I forget who else – one of his teammates was saying that. I wonder why he's doing that. And then he – I mean,
he was not
those.
Going to pass that ball. He squared up Paul George and just launched it from the logo.
He is
he's the guy.
Unfortunately, you know, he plays for Portland, so we don't see a lot of
yes.
him. You know, and I mean, he is a stud, and I guess he's been all NBA the past two or three years.
I think
yes, he was all first team last year, right?
No, he wasn't first.
Or was he not first team?
I think the case is people were making for him to be first team.
Oh,
this year.
How about
the focus on that guy? Boy, you know, there was a lot of trash talking going on, mm-hmm. and he had the game face on the whole time. Westbrook is a bum.
Damian Lillard is the stone-faced assassin of the NBA.
Perfect.
Yep. He's been good for at least 5 years.
Yeah.
He's been great really for good. At least 3 years.
I was going to say that he's Kemba Walker West. Well, but now I'm like, he's better than Kemba Walker.
Oh,
he's
there's a decent gap there. The reason Damian hadn't got the attention the last couple of years because of early playoff exits.
Well, he got swept by the Pelicans last year.
Early playoff exits hurt his attention, but that's going to change now.
You know what? I'm looking
and they're going to be in the Western Conference Finals.
Yeah, they got and don't forget, our listeners, the last time we were on, there was a bet made in this studio between Rod Funderburk, who is not here today. He's out on assignment, and our very own intern, Aaron.
Game saving for a steak dinner,
that's
baby.
Right. They bet on Denver-San Antonio. Rod took San Antonio.
I took San Antonio.
And Rod took Denver. The winner has to pay for a steak dinner to the loser. And they did not clarify if that's Ruth Chris or if that's like
Fleming's
or Applebee's or whatever. They did not clarify where to go. Rod was like, if you want to buy me expensive steak, you can buy me expensive steak. So it was on from there. That is the only series that has been competitive in the first round. Everything else was 4-0, 4-1. For some inexplicable reason, Golden State let the Clippers win two games in their series, but
because they don't care.
Yeah, it's almost like the basketball gods knew. It's like, oh, there's a bet on this Denver San Antonio series. Let's make it go seven games. Is that tonight?
It is.
It is tonight. If we're doing top five things of all time, really quickly, the photograph of Damian Lillard being mauled by his teammates while he just stares into the camera.
I love it.
It's easily top five.
I want it on a t-shirt.
Photo of all time.
I want it on a t-shirt.
That is a great picture.
He's just staring at the camera like, what did you expect me to do? Like, you know, like, this is what I do. Like, and there's chaos going on around him. I didn't know until, I think it was Thursday or Friday, I was talking with Josh Graham about that game, and he was like, during the setup of that shot, you can see Seth Curry over in the corner talking smack to the bench telling him this game is about to end. This game is about to be over. And then when Lillard shoots the three and he hits it, Curry doesn't immediately run off after him. He turns back around to the OKC bench and starts talking smack to them. And then he goes joins the celebration. By that point, they're on the floor. And
I love it.
Dame is staring
at
the camera.
When he was waving
bye-bye. That whole sequence was just great.
Paul George saying after the game that it was a bad shot.
Gosh.
No, it was bad defense.
Yeah.
Well, let him get the shot off.
Wasn't really that bad, though. I mean, Paul George, 6'7", 6'8"?
He gave a half contest.
He was 37 feet away from
He gave Lillard space to get the shot off, though.
But why did he have...
He was almost 40 feet away from the goal.
You don't let that guy get that look.
Why did he say, that was a bad shot? He kept saying it. That was awful. And then you got Westbrook with the next question crap.
Yeah, I'm over
lost that. Total respect. I was sort of on Westbrook's little bandwagon because, you know, he really is a good player, great player, but now he's bottomed out.
I wanted to bring up here. A, is Damian Lillard a top 10 player now in your mind in the league? And B, has Russell Westbrook kind of tarnished his career since Kevin Durant has left? I mean, he's averaged a triple-double the past three seasons. No one's ever done that before in the history of the league. But he's almost kind of starting to turn into this guy, almost like a Dominique Wilkins sort of, like a guy that's super skilled, very athletic, like a phenom in terms of what he can do on the court. But he's never going to win you an NBA title.
Never win a title.
Like that's how I'm starting to feel about Westbrook.
Westbrook is, to an extent, our take on Westbrook is our fault. because he is the same guy he's always been.
Yeah, he's not changed.
I mean, I lived in Oklahoma. I covered him. I've interviewed him before. He's difficult as hell to deal with. He's not the nicest guy in the world, but, like, he's – I mean, you can't – question how hard the guy plays. He plays as hard as any. I mean,
absolutely.
To an extent, you can almost say maybe it's too much.
Yeah. The Thunder made a mistake because you got to think about what they had in their possession and who they chose to ride with at the end.
They didn't choose for Kevin Durant to leave.
Well, right. they chose Westbrook over Durant, and that's what made Durant leave. I think from all the stories I remember reading, it was kind of made to be out there that management preferred Westbrook over Durant.
I don't think that's necessarily the case. I think he got tired of playing with Westbrook, and Durant's got this nonchalant. He's not going to ask you to trade somebody.
Right.
So he just chose to leave.
Now the James Harden thing is just inexplicable. Like looking back on it now, they did it over. I mean, it was like $6 million, like total, they did not want to pay on his contract, and they lost him basically because of that.
I don't know that Harden. If that trade never happens, though, I don't know that we'd get the James Harden that we have today.
Well, see, I think eventually they would have traded Westbrook, honestly. Yeah. I think they would have traded Westbrook and kept Harden and Durant and ran with that. They had Serge Ibaka on this team. I mean, like, the team that played the Miami Heat in the finals.
But can I say something about Serge Ibaka?
Yeah.
He was one of the most maddening players to watch his last couple of years because all he wanted to do was shoot threes.
I do remember that. But now he's in Toronto, and he's been playing pretty well.
If he sticks to his role, he's a good player.
Yeah. Hey, couple things. Back to Kevin Durant. This dude is ready to win another title.
He's the
best
player in the NBA today.
Oh, without a doubt. His last two games, 45 and 50.
Yeah.
You don't think he's saying, jump on my back, boys. I know we're struggling a little bit, whatever reason they did with the Clippers, but I give the Clippers a lot of credit. Kevin Durant is ready to win one more.
I don't think they're going to win the NBA championship.
I do.
I think the Boston Celtics.
They've got some holes that I'm just like.
Write it down.
They should not be. If they're the front runner, you have no business letting the 8th seed win two games on your court in the opening round of the playoffs.
No, like, you're worried about something that's not a worry.
They don't have Boogie. Boogie's going to be out the whole playoffs probably.
They don't need Boogie though. They didn't have Boogie before.
Houston-Golden State series. Are you kidding me?
I really don't know if it's going to be as good as people think.
You think Golden State's going to win?
I was not impressed with Houston. I kept talking about them, but they didn't play that well. All Utah has is Donovan Mitchell. Yeah.
But
they have nobody else that can score the ball.
They didn't really blow them out at all. Yeah,
it's a style Golden State has trouble with, though, obviously. I mean, because they could have lost that series last year.
They could have last year, but I just don't think it'll happen this year.
Yeah, Houston's weaker this year. The loss of Trevor Ariza, to me, was the biggest loss they had because that was their perimeter defense, really, and they haven't really had that this year. This year has been more about about individual like achievements or whatever. James Harden has put this team on his back.
They have nobody that can guard Durant.
No, that's it. They match up with Golden State. Except for Durant. Yeah,
but I mean, there's not a lot of people in the league that can guard Durant, though.
No.
If you really
no,
sit
not.
Back
that,
and
that's why
Giannis,
I say, that's
Giannis
why
maybe?
I say he's that the best wings, player in today's NBA. Nobody can guard Kevin
that
Durant.
Wingspan and that jump shot. I mean, that is unbelievable.
Is that tomorrow? Golden State and Houston? Does that start tomorrow?
Starts tomorrow.
So that starts tomorrow. You got Denver, San Antonio tonight. We'll find out who wins the stake bet. Milwaukee, Boston is tomorrow. Philly, Toronto is tonight, I believe.
How about that?
So, yeah, Milwaukee.
I mean, these games are great.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. Now, second round feels like now the playoffs are going to really start to kick off.
Absolutely.
So I'm really starting to look forward to these getting in. But we got to take a quick break. When we come back, we promised you Bowman Gray coverage. Their opening day is today. They were supposed to have it last week, but it got rained out. So it kind of lucked out for us since we were on the air. So we're going to be able to kick off another exciting season tonight at the Madhouse. Sports Carolina Monthly's Cody Hecox and veteran track announcer Randy Pettit will join the show to talk a little racing. Plus, we'll check in with Dash play-by-play man Joe Weil next on The Rundown.
Shut up.
Sit down.
Are you ready?
Stand by.
You're listening to The Rundown with Desmond Johnson.
That's right.
Dash fans, BB&T Ballpark's 10th anniversary season is underway. Learn more about their great promotions like Thirsty Thursdays and all you can eat for free nights at ws-.com. Purchase single game tickets for as low as $7 if you go to sportscarmonthly.com's dash deal, or you can call 336-714-2287. That's 336-714-2287 or visit ws-.com. You are locked into The Rundown, the only live sports talk show in the Triad on Saturday mornings. I'm your host, Desmond Johnson, joined by Johnny O, Haskell Shelton, and Ryan Stone. And right now, on the line, we've got the voice of the Winston-Salem Dash, Joe Weil. Joe, what's going on, man? We haven't talked to you in about a week or so.
I know. What's going on, Des? And I thought it was very cool that I got introduced, or at least I'm being introduced in this segment. You had Big Papa playing in the background. So now I feel like 500% cooler.
All right.
Shout out to Sawyer Dillon, our producer extraordinaire, for hooking that up. Let's talk a little bit about the Dash. You guys had a game last night. Didn't go so well, but you guys, what was it, a loss? I'm looking for the score here. 13-3, the Keys got on top of the Dash. But you guys are playing again today and tomorrow, correct?
Yeah, so it's actually interesting. We have a 2 p.m. Game today at BB&T Ballpark, and the reason for that is because we actually are hosting a prom for Mount Tabor High School after the game.
Oh, wow.
So it's a little bit earlier than normal. Usually it's a 6 p.m. game for Saturdays, but because we're doing that, we're making it a little bit earlier today for the game. Yeah, and it's interesting. Right? People don't realize this about our ballpark, but we host over 200 non-game day events per year, so we keep the folks that are running the ballpark on an offside pretty busy from January through December. But that's the reason we're playing at 2 p.m. today. And then we got a 2 p.m. game tomorrow, and then that rolls over into a four-game series against Potomac from Monday through Thursday here at BB&T Ballpark. So nice to be back. Despite the loss yesterday to the Frederick Keys, it's good to be back home.
Joe, hey, it's Johnny O. That facility over there is so nice. Mm-hmm. I mean, I can understand why you're hosting so many different events. But, hey, I got a quick question for you. I was at the game 2 weeks ago today against the Potomac Nationals, and we were sitting behind home plate. I had some people down from Syracuse and Boston and California. I had a group down, and we went to the game, and they really loved the stadium, first of all. But my question is, I don't know if you can remember this, and if you have information on this, there was a Potomac batter that swung and missed, and it looked like he broke his arm or something. What happened to that guy?
Well, I'm trying to remember the specific game. Hopefully he's okay despite playing for the other team. But it's never pretty when you see those things, and especially when the stadium at a certain point in the day is kind of quiet too, and then you hear just the sound of the batter arriving in pain. Hopefully he's okay. I'm trying to think if his name was Jack Sundberg, and I don't know if that rings a bell.
It doesn't. I couldn't remember his name. The funny thing about this, Joe, was it was my brother that came down, and he was just goofing. You know how you have the little chatter during a baseball game, and he loves to just yell stuff and all that. And whatever number he was, let's say he was number 21, that kind of rings a bell. He goes, "Come on, 2-1, lean into one," he said. And he leaned into it, and he broke his arm. So we've been blaming my brother that it was his fault that that poor guy has probably ruined his career.
Well, you can blame him all you want, but now you know he can see into the future, so you should ask him some stuff about your own life to see if he can help you out a little bit and avoid some bad decisions.
Oh, my God.
So so you were off this Thursday. There was no Dash game on the calendar for Thursday, so we didn't have you on the Sports Hub, but you guys are back this upcoming Thursday at 7 o'clock first pitch, and we have that all season long for the Dash. So, Joe, give us an idea of where you guys are going to be at this week and what to look forward to.
Yeah, so actually for that Thursday game, we're actually going to be the Winston-Salem Rayados, which is our alternate jersey. We do this as part of our Latin American Jersey Day, and it's a promotion that we're involved with that's in conjunction with Minor League Baseball to celebrate the local Hispanic community. The Rayados actually translates to the stripe ones, so that's why we're the Rayados, and the jerseys are really neat because they're actually a similar look to what the White Sox were in the 80s. So for fans that are curious about what that looks like, look up White Sox 80s jerseys and then look up the Winston-Salem Rayados jerseys and you'll notice the difference. But it's a really fun promotion that we're involved with. We changed some things on the broadcast. So we'll actually be the Rayados Baseball Network. Hopefully for the fans that are listening and that listen to Dash broadcasts on the Sports Up Triad, they'll recognize my voice, and so that when they hear this, the Rayados Baseball Network, they won't be completely out of the loop on it. And obviously we'll let people know that it's the Dash just playing as Rayados for this game. But it's a whole lot of fun. I know our players actually really enjoy it too. You know, they wear the same uniforms just about every game for home contests and road contests. So to change it up every once in a while is a lot of fun, and especially for the Hispanic guys on our team, that you know are very far away from their home countries and get a chance to revel in some of the things that we get to do here.
Well, we appreciate the relationship that we have here at the Sports Hub with the Dash, and hopefully the Dash are going to get on a little win streak here over the next couple of days. Go check out the Dash today. It's supposed to be a beautiful day outside. I'm looking outside. I think the winds and stuff have stopped from yesterday's crazy weather. I think there's nothing but sunshine in the forecast today. So go take the family out, see the Dash today. They're going to be there tomorrow as well. And check in with us at the Sports Hub and at WSDash.com for all the local news that you can get on the Dash. And SportsColumnMonthly.com, too. We've got coverage of them all season long. Joe, my friend, we will talk to you next Saturday, bud.
Thank you so much, Des. And next time I'm on, please play some more Biggie. I love it.
Man, Sawyer, write that down. Whenever we got Joe on, we'll bring him in on some Biggie. So definitely we'll get that in for you, man. Appreciate you, buddy. Have a great call today. So we got a little Dash in there. And right now, he's known for his shaved head, flashy sports coats, and bold neckties. He's back this season, race fans. Welcome Bowman Gray track announcer, longtime track announcer, Randy Pettit, to the Rundown. Randy, what's going on, my brother?
Hey, good morning, guys. Good to talk to you. I am crisscrossing the state of North Carolina. I was at Ace Speedway last night, the Good Guys car show yesterday, back in Raleigh at the Good Guys today. But, man, tonight, Bowman Gray Stadium gets them fired up. The Hayes Silvers 200 at a 40-lap sportsman race, street stock, stadium stock. Man, we are ready to rumble tonight at the Madhouse, my brother.
I'm excited because last week we weren't on the air. We were off for Easter holiday, and that was supposed to be the start of the Bowman Gray season, but due to weather, it got rained out. So it kind of worked out that we were back after our holiday break, and we were able to do this. We did this last year with a 2018 season preview, and we'll have Sports Carolina Monthly's Cody Heacock on right behind you to give his predictions on who's going to win these divisions. But I gotta ask you right off the bat, Randy, what's the craziest thing you've ever seen at the Madhouse? Because you've been there a while now, and I'm sure you've seen some pretty crazy things, and it feels like every season there's one week, one Saturday, where something just went off the rails or something crazy happened with a finish or a fight or something. So for someone like me and Johnny O, Haskell, Ryan that are on the panel today, we've never been to Bowman Gray. So I want you to paint a picture for us. Starting off, what's the craziest thing you've ever witnessed at Bowman Gray Stadium?
Well, the craziest thing for me personally, I was Mr. Mustang, the mascot for the Parkland High School Mustangs, and I got into a fight with a Reynolds Demon on about the 40-yard line, got kicked out of the game. So for me personally,
Hold on. Let's back that up here. So you were in the mascot for Parkland, and you said you got into a fight with the Reynolds Demon?
Yeah, he. I don't know if he meant to do it on purpose. We were just kind of jostling around to get the crowd stirred up, and I got stabbed a little bit with the pitchfork, and I wasn't too happy about it. So we had a little tussle right there on the 40-yard line. So for me personally, that's probably the craziest thing I've been involved with. But as far as the racing, you know, there's been so many really bizarre things that have happened over the years, not only on the racetrack but in the stands. Probably the one that's gotten the most attention worldwide, Derek Stoltz, Mr. Primetime, like a bull in a china shop, started in the back one night, charged his way to the front. Mike Robertson, whose grandson will be racing this year at the Madhouse, Mike got spun out, to put it politely, and he got out of his car to have a chat with Mr. Primetime under caution, and Derek took off, nailed the gas. Mike Robertson's hanging on the side of the car and goes for a little ride about 30 or 40 yards.
Oh, my gosh.
Stoltz, I guess his spotter told him that he had a passenger, hits the brakes. Mike Robertson, like a bowling ball, goes tumbling right into the guardrail. It was a perfect strike, and somebody caught it on video, and the rest is history. That video has been seen worldwide.
Oh, my
gosh.
I was
getting Facebook hits from New Zealand, Japan. It's crazy, man. And, you know, that's why they call it the Madhouse. There's a lot of great racing there, a lot of great competition, but one of the reasons people go, it's very entertaining, and you just never know what you're going to see.
I grew up here in Kay Vegas in Kernersville, and I've heard about Bowman Gray my entire life. I've never got a chance to go over there for a race. I was actually going to invite the Rundown to get over there sometime this summer just to check out the atmosphere, because we do keep up with the scoreboard and everything else, and we give updates for that every Saturday morning here on the Rundown to get Bowman Gray Racing fans ready for action.
I listen to the show, man. I appreciate you guys giving us some love. And,
hey,
you know, I'm zipping around all over the place, but I got to catch up on my triad.
Yeah, absolutely. So we're on the line with Randy Pettit right now. He is a longtime track announcer for Bowman Gray Stadium. Bowman Gray Racing begins their 71st season tonight, 8 p.m., at Bowman Gray Stadium in Winston-Salem. I had another question, too, because we do have Cody Hecox that will be on right behind you that will be talking about the divisions and who he predicts are going to be winning those. What's the best rivalry that you can remember at Bowman Gray? Because this stretches back all the way into, like, the 40s and 50s, right?
Yeah, there's been a bunch of them. One of the ones nationally was Curtis Turner and Bobby Allison. They had quite a tiff right there, almost like a demolition derby way back when. You've had Junior Miller versus the Myers family. That's a big one. Gary Myers and Ralph Brinkley. And it's not been a bitter rivalry, but certainly the rivalry between two of the best ever at the Madhouse, Tim Brown and Burt Myers. You know, those guys have swapped the championship and, the big race wins back and forth for the last 25 years. So you would have to say, really competition-wise, it would be Burt Myers and Tim Brown.
And yeah, actually, I've heard both of those names a lot, especially from Cody, in terms of it seems like every week they're kind of going back and forth. But Randy, one last thing. So tell the listeners of the Rundown that may have never been to the Madhouse before, what can they expect tonight, opening night, and give us the best reason to convince us to go to Bowman Gray tonight?
Well, even if you don't like racing at all, If you go there early and get you a good seat, you will be entertained, I guarantee you. If you don't like the action on the track, you're going to be entertained just watching all the people around you go nuts of what's going on down there. I've been to 110 racetracks across the country and worked at many of them, and I can tell you firsthand, there's no place like Bowman Gray Stadium anywhere in the country, and hands down, it's because of the fans. Those fans are passionate. They show up week in and week out, even when racing. Stock car racing is in a general decline. Bowman Gray is stronger than ever. That place will be full tonight. And, just the people watching part of it's a lot of fun. And think about it this way. It's sort of like wrestling on four wheels, okay? You've got a lot of strong personalities. They put those helmets on. I think it sucks all the blood out of their head. You got perfectly reasonable, nice people off the racetrack. But when they get out there in those tight quarters, beating and banging with that helmet on, the passion starts to be unleashed, and that's what makes it fun.
You got me kind of geeked up for it.
Absolutely.
A little bit. Yeah,
man, you got to come on over. We'll save you a seat, a good seat.
Yeah, well, maybe we can get like a Rundown appearance out there sometime this summer for sure. We'll see.
Absolutely.
If we can get. I think Rod's actually been out there.
Rooms, my brother.
I think Rod Funderburk, our main regular on the panel, Rod gets around. He's been out there a couple times, if I'm not mistaken. He's hyped it up. So we're definitely going to have you back on throughout the season, Randy, if that's cool.
Absolutely.
With you.
You call me anytime. I'm at the Good Guys Car Show today. I'll be at Bowman Gray tonight, and I will be down at ZMAX tomorrow, man. 4 wide, 44,000 horsepower going down the track. I'll be there with strutmasters.com. So love to see all the fans come out tonight to Bowman Gray Stadium, and I'll see you Sunday down at ZMAX.
Fantastic. That's Randy Pettit, track announcer at Bowman Gray Stadium. Go check out 71st season of Bowman Gray Racing tonight, 8 p.m. We'll have him back on later on throughout the season. You can get news and coverage, exclusive coverage, interviews with racers, Randy, different people that are there through our next guest, Cody Hecox. He is our beat writer for Bowman Gray Racing throughout the entire season. This is his, I think, third season doing this for us. And he posted a new 2019 season preview live right now at sportscolumnmonthly.com. So if you are a Bowman Gray Racing fan, you haven't checked it out yet, go to sportscolumnmonthly.com, check out his predictions that we're about to go through right now and get you ready for tonight. On the line right now, we have Mr. Cody Hecox. Cody, what's going on, man? How are you doing?
Not much. Just woke up,
Just woke up. Come on, man. I need you to get you excited, get you hype real quick here because it's the first day of Bowman Gray Racing. You're supposed to be getting us excited.
Yeah,
man.
And you're following Randy Pettit, man. That guy got me juiced up.
Yeah, for real.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
look.
He woke me up. Got me ready.
Now, look, so Cody, we know that there are four main divisions, modified, sportsman, street stock, and stadium stock. Your season preview is up right now at sportscolumnmonthly.com. Let's start in the modified division. I want you real quick to give us who you think will be crowned champion and why, and who's your dark horse in the modified division this year.
Well, my champion is none other than Burt Myers, as Randy was talking about how great he's been over there. He'll look for number 10. It's interesting over there. It's hard to beat the Myers and all.
With Burt Myers, was he champion last year as well?
Yeah, he's actually won 3 in a row so far. So he's looking for number 4 and his 10th.
And who's your dark horse?
My dark horse is James Savali from Hillbilly Racing. He actually lost his ride last year and then mid-season got it back and won his first race out.
So, and then we got the Sportsman division here. And in your article, you're saying it was the most difficult decision to make. Who do you got winning the Sportsman division this year?
I got last year's champion, Kevin Neal. And I've read in the other articles that he's actually predicted to win 10. So I'm going to give it to him and see if he can actually do it. Then my dark horse is Michael Adams. I actually did an interview with him last year, and he seems like he'd be a perfect dark horse pick.
And then that division actually has Rookie of the Year winner Amber Lynn, a female driver who you spotlighted last year. I remember a lot of people read that article that you had spotlighted Amber on. She's going to be racing this year as well. The Street Stock Division champion, who did you pick out for that?
I picked him last year, so hopefully this year he'll be able to get it done. Jeremy Warren.
For Street Stock?
Yes.
And then finally, the Stadium Stock Division, who do you have going in that one as your prediction for champion?
Well, in my article, I had Chris Allison, but come to find out, he's not racing full-time this season. So, in fact, I actually have Grayson Keaton winning that division.
So we'll have to make a change in that because you have Chris Allison winning Stadium Stock, and it looks like your dark horse pick is Kyler Staley, but so we'll be moving that up as well. So definitely check out Cody's work on SportsConomonthly.com. He's basically every week he comes to you with exclusive interviews with drivers, news and racing notes from Bowman Gray, and we also give you updates on the point standings every week there as well. So SportsConomonthly.com is your home for all Bowman Gray racing coverage this season. Cody, I will be talking to you later on this week. Go ahead and get some sleep, man.
Sounds great. Sounds great.
So we got you ready to go for Bowman Gray. We're going to get back into some college basketball talk here now. After the break, we're going to take a look at the state of college basketball. There's been a lot of stuff going on this past week that we haven't really been able to touch. Zion Williamson and Marvin Bagley Jr.'s names popped up on audio tapes and FBI wiretap trial, whatever's going on with this right now. How likely is it that the shoe companies are steering kids to certain schools? And do you even care if they are? Plus, head coach Roy Williams from North Carolina was busy this week. He landed 2 crucial recruits. He lost a veteran to transfer. We'll look at the state of the UNC basketball roster for next season and where they may stand in terms of ACC play next on The Rundown.
Clap your hands and stomp your feet.
Yeah!
It's going to be one big party.
Yeah, I'm on.
Back to The Rundown with Desmond Johnson.
How Sawyer played the food by Kanye West and Common, because I'm about to talk about Giada's Trattoria in Kernersville with their signature stone oven, culture of hospitality, and North Carolina's best pizza. Giada's lets you and your family and friends share an authentic Italian experience with a twist. Everything is better by the stone oven at Giada's. They are right below us here in Kernersville, and it's been a minute since I've been to Giada's. Might have to go check them out today for lunch or something. Sounds pretty good. Before we get into this college basketball talk and what Roy Williams has been doing this week, I didn't even mention the guy he landed last night, so we got to get into that too. Let's check the Twitter poll with our intern, Aaron. Aaron, our Twitter question of the day was, now that the Carolina Hurricanes are in the second round of the Stanley Cup playoffs, will you watch any games, yes or no? Lay it on me, bro.
The results of our Twitter poll concerning the Carolina Hurricanes in the second round of the Stanley Cup playoffs, 14% say they will not watch any of the Hurricanes, while 86% of our listeners say they will be tuning in to watch the Canes.
Good. That's actually real. Wow, okay.
Boo, I need to 14%. Keep
that in mind. Yeah, well, was that? It might have been me. I need to watch some of the Hurricanes for real. Yeah. Like seriously, like I tried yesterday and I could not find it anywhere. That's the thing that drives me nuts.
That's the problem with hockey.
Yeah,
it is.
It's like on MECSN.
I've got YouTube TV, so as soon as I log on, it's like, this is what you might like.
I have YouTube TV too, but I don't watch hockey like that.
I might check that out.
Yeah. Did you watch the entire game, Haskell?
I watched most of the game. Yeah. It was outstanding. I didn't expect the Hurricanes to win last night, but to win it in overtime. A lot of the kind of narrative behind the overtime was, oh my gosh, the Canes are going to be so tired. They're this young team. They played 7 games, and that went into overtime. Man, they were skating around like crazy, hitting folks.
You can tell that they're playing for something else. Like the unity the team has, they're so young, and it feels like they're just kind of, they don't know they're not supposed to be there.
That's right. Yeah. Everybody's telling them that they can't win. They're not believing that.
Right.
No, that narrative is not going on inside their brains.
Do they have a good shot to win? I mean, because the top 2 seeds on both conferences are gone, right?
I think they could certainly win this series, and they probably would be a Vegas favorite to win the series after getting the first game, I think, especially with how they've played at home.
Can they get to the Stanley Cup?
Ooh, that's tough, man. That's tough.
It's like, hold on there. Slow down a little
bit. I mean,
bit.
It's just so tough for any team on any given year. But, yeah, I at this point I'd say why not? They took out a 2 seed, so why couldn't they win it all?
One thing I will say for the NHL Stanley Cup playoffs is you see more upsets in the Stanley Cup playoffs than probably any other sport.
Yeah, I mean, can you imagine in the NBA if like Golden State and who's the second seed in the West?
Denver.
If Golden State, Denver, Milwaukee, and Toronto all lost first round. Like, that would be utter chaos in the NBA. Like, it's never happened. So, like, seems like this happens every year in the NHL.
Somebody gets upset, it feels like every year in the Stanley Cup
and
playoffs.
And I said last night, too, with the Hurricanes, Mrazek and goal, I've been super critical of him for a while. But, I mean, he was lights out. I mean, he looked like he was unconscious in goal. And so, if you haven't watched,
one-nothing
game.
I was going to switch for overtime because I had it on my iPad and I was watching the draft, NFL draft, and the score was on the right-hand side. And I kept looking over it, and it was like 0-0, 0-0, and it kept going and going. And I'm like, okay, if they get to overtime, from what I've been taught from Josh Graham is a big hockey fan. He keeps up with the Hurricanes. He's been going and covering them. He's like, once they get to overtime, there's no commercial breaks or nothing like that. They don't stop the action. It's just until somebody wins. I'm like, okay, I like that. So I'm planning. I'm going over there at overtime to watch it. Then I couldn't find it. So it was kind of depressing. I couldn't find it at the end. And then they scored like 4 minutes into the overtime or whatever. So
the NHL's already had more overtime games in this playoffs to right now than they did all of last year. Jeez. So I would expect that there'd be some more overtime games in this series.
All right, I'm going to make an effort. If intern Aaron can make an effort to watch hockey like he said he did the other night.
I watched not the entire game. I watched the second overtime of the game 7 win.
I watched the 2 overtimes for game 7.
All right, so I gotta start watching some of this.
You gotta watch it.
If I can do it, you can do it.
It's good stuff, man. I mean, it's pure action.
As a kid, I loved hockey. I remember like when the Olympics would come on, hockey was my favorite sport to watch for the Olympics, like rooting on the USA team and stuff. So it's not so much I don't like hockey. It's never really on my radar. But now that we actually got a team that could actually, do something, I don't want to be like that bandwagon guy, but I'm kind of going to be that bandwagon guy. Why not? Might as well.
You're going to bandwagon the local team.
Exactly. That's exactly right.
But now back to basketball.
Yeah, let's get back to basketball here. So Roy Williams earlier this week, if you haven't heard, if you're living in a cave somewhere, he landed the number 3 overall recruit and top point guard in the class, Cole Anthony. Then he added 4-star combo guard Anthony Harris later that night, who decommitted from Virginia Tech when Buzz Williams left for Texas A&M. On Thursday, backup junior point guard 7th Woods announced that he would be transferring from UNC. And then last night, they picked up another
Charleston Southern transfer.
Christian Keeling, I believe his name is. And I got to pull up the stats on him.
I think he averaged like 18 a game,
He
can score.
Yeah, so they went from basically people being worried about Carolina and their depth and, oh gosh, is 7 Woods going to be the starter and all this to – I'm about at the point where I'm about to pick them to win the ACC next year. Like, seriously, looking at everything, Virginia's going to be down.
Yeah.
Duke's going to be super young, and the class they have coming in is nowhere close to the class they just left.
You would pick them to win it anyway.
Louisville.
I would put Louisville
and Carolina, I'm looking at right now, is okay, those are going to be the 2 teams I'm looking at to take the ACC regular season next year because of what they've got. Carolina literally.
Can I talk about the hypocrisy of UNC fans?
Sure.
For a second.
I can't guarantee I'm not going to start screaming and hollering and yelling.
All season when Duke's playing with one and duns, we don't want one and guns.
No,
we don't embrace that.
Not four or five of them. That's not what I've said. And that's not what Roy Williams said. He said that of course they want the best.
That's what Roy
players.
Said. You're right. I will give Roy that. I'm talking about UNC fans.
I've been on that tip from day one. I want the best players, but I only want like one or two of them a year. I don't want to replace five kids every single year. That would drive me nuts as a college basketball fan.
Now Anthony Harris is not a.
They get Cole Anthony.
No, Anthony Harris. He's a 4-star kid. He'll be there. I think he's only got like 1 year. No. He's coming in as a freshman. So, yeah. He'll be there a couple years.
I mean, they maybe have two one-and-done guys.
I don't know Anthony if Bacot's going to be one. Yeah. He's 6'10", 240. He's a 5-star kid. He's ranked fifth in his position.
I don't know that Duke.
It depends on his year.
I don't know that. I mean, since we're staying on that, I don't know that Duke has a ton of one-and-done guys next year either. Maybe two.
Right. probably Carey
and maybe Hurt.
Yeah.
Maybe Hurt. I thought Matthew Hurt was about the same size as Joey Baker, though, isn't he?
I'm not sure. I gotta look it up.
Well, who's this Christian Keeling?
So, Christian Keeling.
Is he a big guy?
No, he's a guard.
He's another guard? He can shoot. Yeah,
yeah, he's basically gonna fill that that Justin Jackson.
That's why seventh what's his name?
Cameron Johnson role
where he's that marksman shooter kind of.
Gotcha.
I'm looking for his stats at Charleston. He's a 6'1", 160-pound shooting guard from Augusta. 6'1".
Yeah, he's a little small. That's why he was at Charleston Southern.
Okay. Oh, well, no, they got him listed at 6'4". Okay,
Cole
6'4", 175.
Anthony Harris and him. I mean, that's
Kenny Williams. That's Seventh Woods. That's Kobe White. I mean, basically, they're just swapping them back out. Now, Anthony was rated higher than Kobe White was. People forget Kobe White signed his letter of intent like after sophomore year of high school. Like, and then he had a growth spurt, and he grew into this 5-star kid. But when he signed, he was a 4-star. You know, Leaky Black, he signed early.
Cole Anthony could be the number one pick in the draft.
Absolutely.
He's that good. I think if a team that's picking number one needs a point guard, I think Cole Anthony could end up being the number one pick.
He's the second highest rated recruit Roy has ever had at Carolina. The only recruit that's been rated higher was Harrison Barnes.
Barnes was number one.
Yeah, 0.9999. Cole's 9992. So
where's Seventh Woods going to go, you think?
I think he should go to South Carolina. Honestly, he's from there. And People forget how big of a deal Seventh Woods was coming out of high school.
Well, he got the hype early, like freshman, sophomore year, because he had like a ridiculous dunking mixtape.
His mixtape.
But he fell. Yeah. He fell throughout his injuries. He ended up being like 40th or something like
that.
Yeah,
he got hurt in high school. I think he hurt his leg or something. He had a bad leg injury. He's never been as explosive as he was then.
Yeah.
If you've never seen it, go to YouTube and look up his mixtape. It's had over 15 million views.
Yeah,
I think it's like the most highest mixtape ever.
It was like his first freshman or sophomore
season.
He's
14 in the video.
Yeah,
and
he's freshman season.
Dunking on 6'10 dudes and just like it. That I forgot how excited Carolina fans were when he committed to us.
Yeah.
Then he got hurt after he committed, and we're all kind of thinking, rankings. Well, he might be okay. He started to slide. Yep. He comes in. Marcus Paige is already the incumbent. We get Joel Berry. He never got a chance to really be the starter, so I'm actually happy that he's going to find some other place to play. He can be a starter at South Carolina or
Clemson, maybe. I mean,
I don't know if he can go in conference like that.
Most of these schools now are letting them transfer wherever they want.
I don't know if I was Roy, I'd want him to go to Clemson. It was different though, because we just landed Cam Johnson that way coming out of Pittsburgh. But they had to fight to do that because Pittsburgh didn't want him to go in conference, but they had just lost their coach and everything else. It was a different situation. So I don't know. But the Christian Keeling kid, he signed last night. He averaged 18.7 points per game, 6.9 rebounds, 2.8 assists. So he's kind of a dog in the paint. He'll go try to get it.
One thing I do wonder about with that grad transfer, or that transfer, is Carolina had wanted Kerry Blackshear from Virginia Tech as well. So I do kind of wonder how that affects Blackshear. Well,
it opens up a scholarship. I had been hearing that Shea Rush was going to give up his scholarship and go on the volunteer walk-on status, which would free up another scholarship for them. Which is crazy, considering just a week ago they're trying to figure out how to fill out a roster, and now they're at the point where they might have to do some maneuvering to get a scholarship open.
One domino is all it takes. Cole Anthony's a big domino.
They land Kerry Blackshear, they're going to open up number one in the country next year. If they land Kerry too, with what they've got coming back, and they've got Cole Anthony, they got Bacot down in the paint. Garrison Brooks would be a senior. Sterling Manley would be depth off the bench. Everything that we've talked about in terms of just college basketball teams today, what do you want to build to have a college basketball team that can compete in March?
If they get Blackshear, it'll either be them or Michigan State.
That's probably number one. Michigan State will be there already.
They bring pretty much everybody back.
Yeah, so that's going to be good. But looking, I mean, it's really more for me looking at the rest of the ACC. Like I said, Virginia's lost everyone. Kyle Guy's gone. Ty Jerome's going to be gone. DeAndre Hunter's going to be gone. And they bring back
Diakite, but I will say, I mean, I watched, it was right before the Final Four, I watched a workout tape of Diakite with his trainer. He works with like a really good NBA trainer. He can do more than Virginia has let him so far.
Who's the guard that never shoots? Clark, is that his name? The freshman kid they had?
Hey, Clark.
Yeah, he didn't.
He'll be back.
There were times where I watched him in the tournament, and he would not even look at the basket to shoot at it. So he's going to have to shoot.
I think they did land a recruit the other day. I can't remember.
They've got some guy, too.
They've landed some recruits.
It's not over yet.
They've got a decent class coming.
The rundown, early prediction.
Transfers also.
I'm feeling pretty good about Carolina now. I went from like, oh, no, everybody's leaving. What are we going to do? To kind of a just trust in Roy. Roy will be fine. To, okay. Now I might start being able to brag.
Can I say something about Roy Williams, please?
Sure.
For the Carolina fans. Leave Roy alone.
Yes.
Stop talking about how you can do better. No, you can't do better than Roy Williams.
There's only,
him coach. Even the questioning of timeouts and everything else. I'm trying to think of who I would take ahead of him right now.
How many coaches are out there that I would take ahead of Roy Williams?
Coach K is the only one I would name. That's it.
Yeah. I mean,
that I would take ahead of him. I mean, there's maybe
Desmond
some.
Desmond would not take him ahead of.
That's fine. I don't have a problem with somebody that would disagree with that. No. But I mean, that's the only one I would personally take.
But like Roy versus Tom Izzo, who are you taking?
Roy.
Roy versus Mark Few. Who are you taking?
No. Roy's got
Roy.
It.
Roy versus Bill Self. Who are you taking?
In my opinion, Roy Williams is a better coach than Dean Smith. That's my opinion.
Roy Williams.
There are people that will highly disagree with that.
Including Roy from the
Dean Smith era. But look, Roy's accomplished more.
Calipari.
That's true.
Calipari
or Roy? I'm taking Roy. Like Calipari. Yeah, nah.
I would take Roy over Calipari.
That's a debate for the summer. Dean Smith versus Roy Williams. Which one's the better coach? You want to set the triad on fire? We might try to do that.
Johnny O's making history today. Do you want to just proclaim it right now as the gospel?
You know, back to my athletes. let me real quick question. When Sports Illustrated does their athlete of the year, okay, is it always the best athletic looking guy?
Yeah, no. Best athlete is most accomplished.
Understand my athlete, what I'm trying to say.
Are NASCAR drivers athletes? People will get it. Are NASCAR drivers athletes?
Yes.
I guess.
You ever tried to? I mean, think.
I mean, there's yeah, a lot.
There's,
just
a,
asking
there's a lot of
going 200
I mean,
miles
I've,
an hour.
I've ridden around the Martinsville track with Kyle Busch before, and I mean, it's intense. I mean, yeah,
did you notice how you didn't exactly get a definitive answer
I know.
When you asked
that's
that question?
I'm sitting there waiting.
It's like, are NASCAR drivers athletes? And it was like a, yeah.
I mean, Jimmy Johnson and Dale Earnhardt are two of the most accomplished athletes of all time. I mean,
are they, though? Are they athletes? Or are they drivers, accomplished drivers?
And what about cheerleaders? Because now we're getting into a slippery slope.
Oh, my gosh. My wife was a former cheerleader, and she'll argue that. Had a panic attack because we were talking about that on the radio, and she misheard Josh say that because he said that they are athletes, and she thought he said he wasn't. So she was on her way up here. She was going to drive up here and be like, what are you talking about?
They're definitely athletes. They certainly do some athletic things.
Oh, they do.
Well, no question about that.
They have athletic competitions. This whole segment went way off from where I wanted to go. Well, but no, it's fine because we're up against
Haskell's
it anyway.
Haskell's harassing me.
I'm trying to derail the whole show.
336-777-1600 is the number to call if you want to chime in on anything we've touched on. It's been a loaded show today. We will have this up online, Spotify, Google Play, Apple Podcasts, and on the sportshubtriad.com website. You can actually download this episode and previous episodes of The Drive with Josh Graham right on the homepage. So definitely get that and listen to us throughout the day today as you get ready to go and do whatever you got to do on this beautiful Saturday morning. Let's take our last break. Let's come back, do odds and ends, so we got enough time to get that in before the show's over, because I know Sawyer's in there sweating the time right now. Rapid fire round. We get 1 minute each to debate a random topic. You do not want to miss this. Next on The Rundown.
Okay, let's go.
You're listening to The Rundown with Desmond Johnson.
Download full episodes of The Rundown and the best of The Drive with Josh Graham at sportshubtriad.com. Keep in mind, too, as we mentioned earlier in the show, we had Dash play-by-play announcer Joe Weil on the show. If you want to go check out the Dash today, I think he said their first pitch is 2 o'clock today,
if I'm not mistaken.
You can go to Sports Carolina Monthly right now, sportscarolinamonthly.com. Go to the top to the ticket button. Click on that. We still have some tickets left for the homestand for today and tomorrow. They are $7 if you buy them through the Sports Carolina Monthly site. They are a $16 value. If I'm not mistaken, they are right behind home plate. Excellent seats. It's a great day to go check out some baseball. Do it on a discount. Go check it out at sportscarolinamonthly.com. This is Odds and Ends. This is the way we end the rundown every week. Sawyer, set a stop clock for 1 minute. At the end of 1 minute, we'll hear a buzzer sound. Six topics, rapid fire. Let's go ahead and go.
All right, starting out, Clemson head coach Dabo Swinney signed a massive extension with Clemson on Friday, $93 million over 10 years, making it the largest deal in college football history. How much will Alabama extend Saban, and does Dabo deserve it?
Yes, Dabo absolutely deserves it. He's the one coach that really does. And the to answer Saban, I think we were just talking about it. He was running down the hall after he saw that with his contract in his hand saying, sign me up. I need to get at least another 100,000 more than Dabo.
So according to Brett McMurphy, Dabo Swinney's buyout increases if he leaves for Alabama specifically from $4 million to $6 million through 2020, from $3 million to $4.5 million through 2022. From $2 million to $3 million through 2025, and from $1 million to $1.5 to 2027.
Dabo absolutely deserves it. He's one of the best coaches in the country. He is the only one that is on the same level as Nick Saban. However, Dabo has been on the record saying that you can't afford to pay players or you will go broke and have to get rid of sports. Stop telling me that when you accept a $93 million contract.
Pretty valid there. Haskell, you think
Dabo? Yeah, I mean, I don't have too much to add there. I'm a big Dabo fan, so I think he absolutely deserves it, and probably more.
How much does Saban get? You're going to be the first $100 million coach?
100.
So, wow. So, we've seen Jimbo Fisher get $75 million. That sounded ridiculous.
Just completely undeserved.
Yeah. Dabo now, two of the past three national championships, and he did it against Nick Saban, basically, in Alabama's evil empire. So, I think that's totally worth it. Hit me, Sawyer.
All right. Next up, Chiefs wide receiver Tyreek Hill has been barred from all team activities after audio was released of Hill's fiance accusing him of abusing their three-year-old son. Will he play in the NFL this season, and should he?
I'm going to, before the panel even does this, our resident intern Aaron is a big Kansas City Chiefs fan. I'm going to let him answer this question because he has been the highest of highs and the lowest of lows the past 7 days when it comes to the Kansas City Chiefs.
The Tyreek Hill situation is real bad. It's very bad.
I'd say.
It doesn't look good at all.
No, it doesn't.
And I was watching last night. The Chiefs had their first pick in the second round last night. And actually with their first pick, they drafted Mecole Hardman out of Georgia.
I wanted
who
him.
Looks a lot like Tyreek Hill.
Yeah, I wanted him for Carolina.
So they're saying that they would have drafted him regardless of any of the stuff that's happening. But, you know, you kind of got to say that. So I'm not sure. That may look like he's out the door.
Let me add something about the Chiefs. They knew who Tyreek Hill was when they drafted him.
He strangled the same girl.
He got kicked out of Oklahoma State for strangling his pregnant girlfriend.
The girl on the recording.
The Chiefs knew who he was. I think a big part of this is how much investigators can prove. He's going to be suspended, but it's how long he gets suspended.
I don't know if he's going to play at all. And, you know, Mike Golic had a great point on Golic and Wingo earlier. It's like eventually these teams need to just draw a line and be like, we don't have to be the enforcers, but we don't have to sign him just because he's a good football player. If he's not a good person and it affects our league by signing guys like this, just stop signing these guys.
There
you can move on without him. The NFL and the Shield's bigger than one player. Go ahead, sorry.
All right, well, what would be the best landing spot for Cardinals quarterback Josh Rosen now that Kyler Murray has been drafted number one overall?
Well, I wrote this Friday morning. I wasn't aware that they were going to be able to move him because I thought that his value was the lowest it was going to be until training camp.
I liked his landing spot.
I like it. I like the Miami Dolphins. That's a great spot for him, but I just cannot believe the number 10 pick in the 2018 draft
got traded for us.
52, I believe.
They got great value for him, and I think Flores, with his experience with Belichick, is a really good fit for Josh Rosen.
I don't understand why the Cards didn't just wait till training camp to trade him. When there's going to be injuries, there's going to be people that have a need for a quarterback. They're in a rush to get that pick.
I forgot who they drafted with that pick, but
Cardinals are going to be a dumpster fire.
I'm rooting for Josh Rosen. I hope he stars.
He's going to
be a great holder for extra points.
No, he's better than that.
Rosen is much better
than that. He's better than that.
All right, we'll see.
We'll see. I don't know. All right.
Write it down, Haskell, next to my other seven.
Put me on there, too. Rosen is much better than that.
All right. Hurricanes versus Islanders, second round series. Game one last night, Hurricanes won 1-0 in overtime. Will any of you watch the series?
So this, us four, yes, are any of you going to watch any of the series?
I'll be watching I can't watch a complete game, but I'll watch quite a bit of it for sure.
Well, Haskell's in here. Yeah, I want a Hurricanes hat.
Yes. So I will be watching. Sure. I will be watching every game of the series.
Are they all NBC? Or some of, because I watched some of the one on Fox Sports, the Fox Sports app I have. They, the game 6 or 7, I watched some of that on there. So
I think it's going to be mixed up. I'm not exactly sure.
You got to find that out here. You got to find out. See, I don't know where to find it. That's the problem. And Ryan alluded to that earlier in the show.
Yeah, I mean, it's just it's a niche thing, and they don't have a great TV contract. That's the problem. Yeah.
But go Canes.
Yeah, go Canes.
All right, next up, major prospect Vladimir Guerrero Jr. made his Major League debut for the Blue Jays last night. Will he be an average player, all-star, or superstar in the MLB?
I'll let my baseball guys
handle I'll go with an all-star. I think this guy is ready to go. You know, obviously, his father was outstanding. Vladimir, he's going to kick it in. You know, it might take him a little while once, you know.
I don't think so. I think
he's going to automatically jump in.
I think this guy is the most sure thing that we've seen in baseball in the last two decades.
I'm with you. I think he's a superstar.
Yeah. He was hitting .500 from AAA when he got called up. His career numbers in the minor leagues over .333, I think. Wow. He just crushes the ball. I mean, he absolutely destroys it.
I think he'll compete with Trout and Acuna as best.
Wow, strong words. Jeez. He's 20 years old. He went 1-for-4 last night. Batting .250.
He's batting .250.
He doubled in his first game.
Wait for tonight, because he also hit a ball off the hotel in Toronto last night. In batting practice. So.
Okay. All right. Next up, Beyonce debuted her concert biopic Homecoming on Netflix last week. The star has signed a $60 million deal with Netflix for 2 additional specials. Has Beyonce surpassed Michael Jackson or Justin Timberlake as the greatest performer of all time?
I like the sneak in.
Hell no.
No.
Thank you.
Hell no.
Absolutely not.
I got into
not.
An argument with people on Facebook this week about this very topic, and I said, you know what? I'm going to put this on the radio just to express how ridiculous this is.
I'm offended by this question.
Yes. Beyonce, greatest performer of this generation. Like, I watched the Homecoming.
I don't even know if I go that far.
It's a fantastic bio. And if you haven't watched it, go to Netflix and watch it. It's just, if you like watching Beyonce walk around and do stuff, it's worth it for that. But the work she put in on it, it's great. But I watched 14-year-old girls passing out in 100,000-seat soccer stadiums across Europe because Michael Jackson was doing whatever on the stage. Like, that's never going to happen again.
And Justin Timberlake.
Yeah, Justin Timberlake.
This is good.
I like Timberlake.
You talk about entertainer. Justin Timberlake is a serious entertainer.
For my money.
Don't forget to check out Sports Colorado Monthly Podcast Center. Hear weekly podcasts like The Rundown, Four Man Rush, Stone's Throw with Ryan Stone, and more. Now available all major podcast formats, including Spotify, Google Podcasts, Apple, and more. Brought to you by our friends at Ray's Auto Body and Record Service. I'm off to go find some hot wings. We'll see you next Saturday.